Welcome to Marvel.
Before we start today's show, I just wanted to remind you all at the very end of the episode, we will have the updated week two power rankings of our league. I probably should have put it in the intro here, but I decided to put it at the end of the podcast. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Enjoy the show. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Cliff Jensen. What's going on? Come on in. Step inside the arena. Don't be shy. Grab yourself a beverage. Week two is in the books. Some just insane games. Like WWE couldn't write a better script than some of this stuff that happens in NFL football. It's the perfect sport. Best sport to watch. Best sport to, you know, play fantasy with. I've tried fantasy in other sports. It's not the same with the 1 week buildup of decision making, and then we get to see it all unfold on Sundays. Just unbelievable. My Jets with a improbable win. The Browns had a 99.9% probability to win that game at one point in the fourth quarter. And of course, my New York Jets come back in dramatic fashion and win that game and shock the Browns fans in Cleveland. It was fantastic. But enough about me. Let's talk about you and your fantasy football teams. I wanted to go over some quick notes. Maybe you could call these Cliff Notes. I don't know. Just trying to think of new segments here. But before we get into the matchups and the studs and duds on your teams, I wanted to talk about Tua. I can't say his last name. I was gonna attempt it, but it was gonna come out terrible. I already knew that. So Tua throws for 6 touchdowns, 469 yards. Miami Dolphins quarterback. One of my friends side texted me. You know, he asks for advice every once in a while. Whatever, I try to give him the best I can. But he says, "What do you think about Tua? Can I pick him up? And you know, is he gonna be really good in fantasy this year?" Blah blah blah. I said, I mean, he looks good, but just let's keep in mind that Mitch Trubisky, at one point in his career, had a 6-touchdown game as well. And look where Mitch Trubisky is now. So let's put it into perspective. But I do think Tua has the weapons to keep this up. Not 6 touchdowns. That'll be the best game of his entire career, easily. I mean, nobody does that kind of stuff. Even Patrick Mahomes has never done that. But he will be fantasy relevant, so we'll see if someone scoops him up. Maybe a Trey Lance owner, Joshua Benoit. But we'll see. He is on the waiver wire. We'll see if people pay up for him. So, raise your hand if you thought Tua and Wentz would be tied for the lead league in touchdowns after week two with Patrick Mahomes. Because I sure didn't. Those two guys have proven that if you wait on quarterback in fantasy drafts, you can, you know, rummage through the muck and find yourself a startable quarterback. And those two guys could be the guy. So Wentz, we've seen this before with the Eagles, with the Colts, and he's usually due, especially after 2 great games, to let you down. So we'll see how far he can keep that going. And Tua, the sky's the limit for him with Tyreek and Waddle. Those two guys are unbelievable. Waddle had 19 targets yesterday with 11 receptions. Tyreek, 11 receptions. I won't get too far into the studs and duds because Tyreek is one of the studs. But my goodness, he was out of the game. I got an alert. Tyreek out being looked at for cramps. I don't know what the kind of Gatorade they gave that guy. He came in and absolutely destroyed from that point on. So It's just crazy week. So let's get into some, I'm going to call this experiments that might be over. So these are some things we saw in week one where maybe the team was experimenting with these players, and that experiment might be over for our fantasy purposes. The first one, Rex Burkhead. it looked like they're going to the rookie, Damian Pierce, which I have him on my team. I'm happy about. I didn't start him, but he had a decent game. He's still a rookie, and he looked good out there, but they barely used Rex Burkhead after giving him so much work week one. So the Rex Burkhead experiment might be over. Kenyon Drake had a lot of usage week one, which was weird because he just joined the Ravens just a few weeks prior to the season starting. So you think, oh, I can fire up Kenyon Drake week two because Dobbins is out again. Well, yeah, he did absolutely nothing. They really didn't use him at all. So the Kenyon Drake experiment is most likely over. Unfortunately, this one is injury related, but the Trey Lance experiment is over. I'm sure the 49ers are very, very happy that they re-signed Jimmy Garoppolo and for a lot less money. So this, in a weird way, it's really worked out for the Niners. Now they got to keep Jimmy G healthy moving forward. He's also been known to get banged up. But, real sad day for Trey Lance and 49er fans, Mr. Joe Chick in our fantasy league. I'm sure you're kind of disappointed that you don't get to see the upside of Trey Lance. But I hear all indications are that he should be ready to go for week one next year. I mean, there could be complications, but Dak Prescott went through this even later in the season a couple years ago, and he was back for week one. So something to keep an eye on. Some other experiments that might be over. Albert O, Denver Broncos tight end. Pretty good usage week one, unused completely in week two against a crappy Texans team. So that experiment might be over. This one sucks. Travis Etienne. I mean, it was a different coaching staff that drafted this guy. It sucks because he's Trevor Lawrence's friend. They played on the same team in college, so you'd think, oh, he'd maybe favorite him. But somehow this guy, James Robinson, undrafted, with an Achilles injury, is just blowing my mind and getting every touch possible in that backfield. I do think better days are ahead for Travis Etienne, but it's week two and he still hasn't done much. Not a good fourth round pick for anybody that took him in fantasy. I took him in a couple leagues. Don't feel great about it. The Travis Etienne experiment might be over. Another one. This one's done. Cole Kmet. If you got him in any other league, drop him. I mean, I like to, when I'm really mad at players and I know I'm going to drop them, I like to stay up all night on Monday night for Monday Night Football. As soon as that game is done on Monday Night Football, your roster will unlock and you can go ahead and just drop that player immediately. It's almost like a, you know what I mean? Like, you're just dropping them to make yourself feel better. But Cole Kmet still has zero catches on the year. That experiment is done. And our last one, Kenny Golladay. I mean, we knew this one was pretty much done, but the Kenny Golladay experiment is done. He only got one snap in the first half of that Giants game. And the Giants won. They're just not using him. They're not using Kadarius Toney. That's another experiment that just might be over. Those two guys were not picked by this current coaching staff, and they went out there and won with rookie wide receivers and fourth string, fifth string, and always injured Sterling Shepard. So those are the experiments that I think might be over. And you can go ahead and throw in Kyle Pitts there too. He's a tight end, so this is a little different. He's still very valuable because of the fantasy position of tight end. But I drafted him in a couple leagues, and I don't feel great about it. I thought the experiment would be throw 15 times per game. I'm embellishing, but, you know, 10 to 12 times per game to this huge Calvin Johnson Megatron-type player in Kyle Pitts. And that's not the experiment that the Falcons are using. They were down the entire game against the Rams yesterday. So in a negative game script, not throwing to Kyle Pitts is a bold move. So I hope there's a squeaky wheel game coming for him. I think he needs to address this you know, maybe talk to his coach or team, like, hey, why can't I get the ball? He's only lining up 13% of the time in the tight end position. So that means he's actually lining up as a wide receiver and still not getting the ball. So it's not like they're using him to block. They're using him as a weapon and just not throwing his way. So that's an experiment that could be over if we thought you were getting 10 to 12 targets per week. And before we get into our studs and duds and matchups, I have another segment. We're going to continue this, I think, maybe all year. And we're going to call it top three, bottom three. These are just my power rankings of the three best teams in the league and the three worst teams in the league. If you remember last week, I had the Jets ranked 32nd. And although it took an absolute miracle for them to come back and get the win, it's not about the win. It's the fact that they competed. They put up points yesterday, so they are no longer in the bottom three. Let's go over the top three. As of right now, Buffalo Bills. Now, today's Monday. They haven't played yet. So, assuming they win, which is stupid to do because it's the NFL, assuming they win, Bills number one. Number two, Kansas City Chiefs. And number three, until further notice, is the Miami Dolphins. That offense might be something, and their defense isn't the worst thing in the world. They got torched in the first half against the Ravens, but I have them ranked number three. It feels really weird. Yes, over the Bucks. Yes, over the Rams. Until further notice, it's the Dolphins. So you can't ignore a game like that from Tua and those weapons. They're going to be unstoppable. And then the bottom three, ranked at number 30, Atlanta Falcons, for reasons that we just talked about. Just a weird, I don't know what the game plan is with them. I just throw it to Kyle Pitts. I don't know. Number 31, Seattle Seahawks. Their season's over. They got their win against Denver and Russell Wilson week one. That was their Super Bowl. It is what it is. They're a terrible team, and it shows. So they're ranked 31. And 32, it's the Chicago Bears. They won week one in a rainforest, tropical storm against Trey Lance and the 49ers. Big deal. They got absolutely torched yesterday against the Packers, which is nothing new. But they decided to only throw the ball 11 times in a negative game script. They're losing the entire game, and that's your plan to throw the ball 11 times? Like, Darnell Mooney is just nowhere to be found, and it's really not his fault. It's the same old Chicago Bears, afraid to take shots. Let's just run, 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 even though we're down three touchdowns. So they're going to be ranked 32. Let's get to the studs and duds and the week two matchups. All right. And through the magic of podcasting, it is now Tuesday morning, September 20th. So we did, in fact, see the Bills absolutely destroy the Titans. So I'm very comfortable putting the Bills as my number one team in the league. Right behind them, the Chiefs, and then probably a large gap. And then that's where I have the Dolphins. And again, that's just until further notice. The best part about power rankings is I get to change them. So next week will be the week we find out if the Dolphins are for real. It's going to be Dolphins versus Bills. I know Gage is uber excited for that game. It's one of those games, if the Dolphins want to prove that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, they don't have to necessarily win. They have to go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen and that Bills team. And if they put out a good showing, then the sky's the limit for them, and I'd keep them at that three spot. But right behind them might be the Eagles, man. They looked great last night, absolutely destroyed the Vikings, who I thought were going to be contenders as well. Still time for them to kind of pick it up, new coaching staff. But primetime Kirk Cousins cannot be trusted. Let's get to our first matchup of the week. And as you know, our first matchup of the week is always the game of the week. And it's going to be Pillar of Fire, Tom Beggs, taking on Juan Large Lemonade, Please, Elliot Shabelli. I had my eye on this matchup all weekend. It was a good one. It started off hot for Tom on Thursday night. We'll start there. His stud is going to be Mike Williams. Thursday night football, got him off to a good start. I know he was probably feeling confident, and he had a great week, putting up 126 points. Juan Large Lemonade takes the win, 130 to 126. To Mike Williams, just a great showing without Keenan Allen there, so that's going to be Tom Stud. 8 for 113 and a touchdown, and that was mostly all in the first half. So obviously the Kansas City game, you know, they adjusted at halftime and said, well, we're going to do whatever it takes for Mike Williams not to beat us anymore. So he could have even had a bigger game, but very great game from Mike Williams. As far as Tom's Dud goes, could go a couple different directions here, but I'm going to go A.J. Dillon. So he's still getting the work, but to me, it's clearly obvious. And maybe it is for you guys too if you watch the Sunday Night Football game. But it's obvious to me that Aaron Jones has the juice. I mean, he is much better than A.J. Dillon. Dillon is that thunder, and you know, Aaron Jones is that lightning. And every time Dillon touched the ball, he ran into the offensive lineman. He wasn't getting far. He only had 61 yards rushing, 7 fantasy points. Now, not bad for your double flex spot, but not what you're hoping for. Aaron Jones went absolutely off once they started giving him the ball. I was screaming at the TV, clearly, give Aaron Jones the ball. And he was making things happen. So a dud performance there from A.J. Dillon. But 126 points for Tom in a losing effort, that's a consolation prize right there. If you're going to lose, you're going to want to put up points, because in the end, points do matter. Going over to Elliott's team, just an unbelievable performance again by his team. Said he was going to be a strong team out of the gate, and he is. Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews are going to be your studs. Just an incredible stack. 42 fantasy points from Lamar Jackson. He had an 80-yard rushing touchdown. I mean, that's just, for a quarterback, that's the cheat code that we know and love from Lamar Jackson. There's a couple of cheat codes in fantasy football. Christian McCaffrey has always been one. It's kind of like starting a running back and a wide receiver in the same spot. You got Cooper Kupp, who's a cheat code just because of all the receptions and touchdown possibilities. And then, of course, Lamar Jackson, the original cheat code. You know, there's a lot of running quarterbacks now, Jalen Hurts, and, you know, Trey Lance was projected to be that. But we go back to the king, Lamar Jackson, who has rushed for 1,000 yards in his career. And, yeah, he's looking real good. That Ravens defense looks like trash. So that could be a lot of fantasy points on a weekly basis for Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he threw a ton of passes to Mark Andrews, his other stud, 9 receptions, 140 yards, and a touchdown, 21 fantasy points. So he gets 63 fantasy points from two players. That's always a good start. As far as his dud goes, we're not sounding the alarm yet, but we're getting close. Travis Etienne, 6 fantasy points. I really don't understand. I know the coaching staff didn't draft him, but he still is, again, boys with Trevor Lawrence. And in a game where the Colts were up 24 to nothing at one point, you figure they would rest James Robinson and that Achilles and throw in the basically the rookie. He missed all last year, Travis Etienne, and they decided to just keep hammering James Robinson. So they love themselves some James Robinson, and I'm not too sure going forward how confident you can be starting Travis Etienne. Maybe a good flex play still because he has upside, but that's going to be Elliott's dud. But nonetheless, Elliott moves to 2-0 on the season, and Tom, a respectable high scoring 1-1 on the year. All right, our next matchup is going to be Dawson Knox's Creek. Josh Benoit taking on Gage Azeez, ChristianMingle.com, and Gage takes the win, 114 to 97. Let's take a look at Gage's team first and foremost. His stud is going to be none other than Nicholas Chubbers. Now, he only had 87 yards rushing. Looks like that Jets team is going to have a great run defense. I mean, they're loaded on the D-line and at linebacker. With Quan Alexander, C.J. Mosley, they can stop the run, and they did a great job. They held Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to the lowest amount of rushing yards since Lamar has joined the team, which is saying something because the Ravens lead the NFL in rushing every year because of Lamar, and we held them in check last week, and we held Nicholas Chubb to 87 yards rushing. However, three touchdowns. Got to keep him out of the end zone, and for fantasy purposes, 30 fantasy points because of those three touchdowns. So great start there, and old reliable as far as Nick Chubb goes. As far as your dud goes, I mean, this is a no-brainer. Kirk Cousins on prime time, Engage knows this. I'm shocked that he gave him the start here, but eight fantasy points, playing with fire there. You know, three interceptions for Cousins. It's something, man. And if we expect the Vikings to do anything in the playoffs, I don't know if Kirk Cousins knows this. Every playoff game is pretty much prime time. So he's got to fix this, man. It happens every year. So tough start there for Gage, but still gets the win nonetheless. Let's go to Josh's team. Dawson Knox's Creek. Couple duds here. I'm concerned for Dalvin Cook. 17 yards rushing, five fantasy points. You know, James Conner gets injured. Not much you can do there. Cordero Patterson, 41 yards rushing. That was weird to see out of them. And I don't know, man. I'm concerned for Dalvin. I don't know. They just want to throw in Minnesota. They get absolutely torched. So maybe you'll see them come down to earth a little bit and go back to the run game in week three. Can't just throw the ball all over the yard. You have to establish the run. And right now, Cook's the odd man out on that team. As far as your stud goes, it's definitely Christian Kirk. Just a great draft pick. Six receptions, 78 yards, and two touchdowns. I watched a play for his second touchdown. Trevor Lawrence could have ran the ball in. I think they were about at the four-yard line. And he was, you know, he had turned the corner. He was clearly beating the linebacker to the pylon. But instead, he steps kind of back behind the line of scrimmage and throws a tiny little, like, two-yard pass to Christian Kirk, who was also running with him wide open. So it's cool to see, like, he wanted to throw the touchdown instead of run it in, and that was for Josh's benefit. 22 fantasy points for Christian Kirk, but still not enough. Josh ends the week with 97 fantasy points. He is at 1-1 on the season, while Gage is also 1-1. But puts up triple digits for the 114. Nice job, boys. All right, our next matchup, if she's listening, is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit, taking on Taylor, the trophy wife. Woo! Mr. Fahrenheit takes the win, 175. Woo! To 103. This was way closer. Even heading into Sunday Night Football, it was a battle. It was almost matchup of the week. We were putting up points all through the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games. Darnell Mooney will start there as her ultimate dud. I mean, he's the one that kind of set the tone for the rest of the matchup. Yes, I did end up putting up 175, but it was much closer even heading into Sunday Night Football. So Darnell Mooney, I kind of talked about it in the pre-show. Very concerned. The Bears only threw it 11 times. They threw it 17 times in an absolute monsoon, and then they turn around in a losing effort to the Packers and only throw it 11 times. I'm really not sure what the game plan is there. Man, I have Mooney in a couple leagues. I'm thinking about dropping him if I can find anyone else of value. Maybe he's worth holding on to if they change philosophy, but that's asking a lot of an NFL team to completely change how their offense runs. It seems like they just want to run. So just disappointing for Taylor. I know the feeling. I started him as well. Darnell Mooney, 0.1 fantasy points. He had negative 4 yards rushing. So receiving. Technically, Taylor had more yards receiving than Darnell Mooney did. Not something you want to see. As far as her stud goes, I mean, this scared the crap out of me. 1 p.m. game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 34.9 fantasy points. He does it again. 9 receptions, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Man, if I could redraft, I would leave DJ Moore on that draft board and take Amon-Ra so fast. He's so good. I can't believe people were worried about his targets going down because DeAndre Swift is there and Hockenson, and then they drafted Jameson Williams, who's not even playing yet. So just a great draft pick by Taylor. I think that's going to be her best player all year long. I do expect bigger things from Austin Ekeler as well. He just doesn't have a touchdown. Otherwise, he's doing okay. He's just doing okay, but you need touchdowns in fantasy football, and those will come. So she puts up 103, still respectable. Triple digits, always good. Heading over to my team, the zero RB build, baby. This is what I dreamed of, and I took a chance on it. And this week, it happened to work. Now, I know the highs and lows. Talked about it in the chat. It could go the opposite way. These guys just all happened to boom all at the same time. I was hoping for it. And Jalen Hurts is my stabilizer. If one of those receivers, or possibly two, don't have that boom game, I'm hoping Jalen Hurts, which he did last night, 33 fantasy points, can be the stabilizer. So that's where I'm strong at, double wide at my wide receiver one and two, I'm strong. At my flex, I'm strong. In quarterback, and the rest of my positions are very questionable, but I feel like I can piece it together throughout the year. So there's studs, it's my team, but I'm not trying to blow smoke here. But if any of you scored 175, I'd just call it like it is. There's studs all over the place. I'll just name them: Tyreek Hill, 36 fantasy points, 11 for 190 and two touchdowns. Stephon Diggs last night. I didn't think anyone would beat Tyreek Hill this week, and Stephon Diggs goes out and does it. 38.8 fantasy points, 12 receptions, 148 yards, and three tutties. Unbelievable. I can't expect this every week. I'm going to enjoy it. I love the point output. I love the win. Putting up this many points is fun. T. Higgins came in after the concussion last week and really helped. 6 for 71 in a touchdown. As far as a dud goes, my only dud would be Melvin Gordon. Again, I didn't expect much from that running back two position. So yeah, we can call him a dud. 5.8 fantasy points. I was pretty much just praying for a touchdown. He didn't get the touchdown, so that's why he had a lackluster performance. But when everyone else is putting up 30 fantasy points, I don't need much from that position. So we'll see. Use me as a barometer. If maybe in your other leagues you want to try this method, I don't know if I can win a championship like this. it's crazy. I just wanted to do something different this year. And so far, so good. So we'll see. I still am only 1-1 on the year. So it's, I'm still second. Me and Taylor are tied. No. She's 0-2. Taylor starts the season 0-2. She can climb out of that. I'm 1-1. While Elliot and Alicia, starting off hot, they're both undefeated in our division. So divisions matter, people. Make sure you're checking out your division. You want to win your division. If you win your division, you're automatically in, and then it goes by points. So putting up points, at least for Taylor's sake, in a losing effort, is good. It's not like she put up, 67 points, 103 respectable. That's going to be used later on in her potential playoff run. So nice matchup. Always a pleasure. We always have fun. And could have easily gone the other way. So, all right, our next matchup is going to be Alicia. Unleash the Beast. I think I finally get her team name. I never noticed that. Unleash the Beast. Oh, man. What a revelation. I'm so proud of myself. I had no idea. That's a clever nickname. Unleash the Beast. I'm such a poor soul. I get too excited for this stuff. Versus Torres Falcons. I almost called them Lemonade. Juan Torres. Alicia takes the win in a defensive struggle, 89-72. Let's dive into Alicia's team. So not a ton of studs here, only putting up 89 fantasy points. I'm going to give her stud to Devontae Smith. It's good to see him get involved. He actually outproduced A.J. Brown last night. 7 receptions for 80 yards. So it looked like the game plan was to get Devontae Smith the ball. The Eagles won, so it worked. It looks like A.J. Brown's going to be drawing that double coverage, which could free up Devontae Smith. So in football, when you have that number two receiver, that's always welcomed. That's how, if you remember years ago, Juju Smith-Schuster went absolutely nuclear with the Steelers because Antonio Brown was just drawing so much coverage And it was always Juju one-on-one in man coverage, just dominating. So we could see a nice little bounce back this year for Devontae Smith. So good to see there. Duds all around, just lackluster performances. You know, Kelce only 7 fantasy points, but he's a tight end, and the landscape of tight ends, if that's Kelce's bad week, you'll take 7 points. But we're going to go Jonathan Taylor. That Colts team is garbage. That's a uh-oh signing with Matt Ryan. Instead of going to the draft, the Colts just keep trying to Frankenstein the quarterback position together. 3 years ago, they get an old, washed-up Phillip Rivers. Wasn't too bad. At least it got the Colts, you know, playing decent football, but he was done. And then they go out, get Wentz last year. They were playing okay through the year, but then they didn't make the playoffs. They needed to beat the Jags, if you remember, in the final week of the season, and they couldn't beat the Jags, and they didn't go to the playoffs. And I think they gave up too fast on Wentz. I don't know. That's just my opinion, because they go out and get Matt Ryan, who I also think is done. I think it's just the reincarnation of Phillip Rivers. So with that said, Jonathan Taylor is the dud. You know, the Colts lose 24-0 to the Jaguars. So got to abandon the run game when you're losing that bad. So 6 fantasy points, not really going to get it done. So better days ahead for Alicia's team. Still undefeated, though. Let's go over to Juan's team. 72 fantasy points. Not good. As far as studs go, it's good to see Tyler Higbee get involved. So, you know, again, tight end position is a wasteland. And to get 10 points from Tyler Higbee, who is, I don't even know if he was drafted. I think he was more of a waiver wire find. Probably didn't spend much money on him. 7 receptions for 71 yards. I mean, that's what you can, you know, get excited about in that tight end position if you didn't spend up for 10 fantasy points. As far as your dud goes, man, Devontae Adams scored a touchdown, but he only had 2 receptions, 12 yards. I don't know what the Raiders game plan was there, but I'm going Tom Brady, man. This is a red alert, man. I know he doesn't have all his weapons, but, like, not everything's going to be perfect for him, you know? And I expect them to come out and play better. Somehow the Buccaneers are 2-0, and they have not looked good at all. Their defense is winning them games. Tom Brady, excuse me, only 9 fantasy points, 190 yards and a touchdown. Not great. You can get that from anyone on the waiver wire compared to what you thought Tom Brady was going to do. So only 72 fantasy points for Juan. He starts the year 0-2. The lemonade man, he might be going out to dinner with a stuffed animal. And hey, and I'm not talking about, you know, whoever loses. You're not going to dinner in your dining room or in your kitchen. You're going out to dinner. I mean, I'm talking getting a table alone, stuffed animal on the other side, have your waitress have to take a picture of you, and you got to eat a meal, man. That's the punishment. You know, where you're talking a, you know, $20, $25 punishment right there. Get yourself a little meal. Let's get awkward with a teddy bear. But that's the punishment. So I'm not saying Juan getting it, but he's 0-2. We'll see. He's got to do something. He's got to climb out of this hole. So Alicia starts 2-0 on the year. And once again, Juan Torres, 0-2. All right, our next matchup is going to be the Book of Samuel. Joe Chick taking on Bathroom Hand Jobs, Mike Corrado. Corrado takes the win. Close matchup. I didn't see this one. 94-92. Excuse me. Let's take a look at the teams here. It looks like Joe Chick had every opportunity last night to make a comeback and get the win. He had A.J. Brown playing last night and Adam Thielen. And A.J. Brown only got 9 points. Thielen, 7. He needed 2 more points. A.K.A., I mean, that's 1 catch for, you know, 15 yards, and he would have got the win. But let's look at Mike's team first. Bathroom Hand Jobs gets the win. I'm going Cortland. Cortland Sutton had a great week. I'm going Drake London as your stud rookie wide receiver, Atlanta Falcons. He looks great. Kyle Pitts looks terrible. They just want to keep throwing to Drake London. So for Mike's purposes, he's happy about that. 8 receptions, 86 yards, and a touchdown. 20 fantasy points. In consideration was definitely Courtland Sutton, because I think if Jerry Jeudy is going to miss time, Courtland Sutton is going to be an absolute monster. If Russell Wilson can get him the ball, Russell Wilson could be Corrado's dud. I am going to go Joe Mixon as the dud. I thought for sure the Bengals were going to pull that win out against the Dallas Cowboys in, you know, I thought they were going to be winning that game by 15 points and we'd see Joe Mixon running the clock out, racking up yards, and that was not the case. Bengals lose the game. Mixon really just not used, only 9 fantasy points. So, but nonetheless, Corrado gets the win. Joe Chick's team, almost there, man. You needed a couple more points. 92 fantasy points, just not enough. As far as your studs and duds go, your stud, I'm giving it to Pat Freiermuth. DeMuth is loose. 4 reception. Of course, I said DeMuth is loose. 4 receptions, 22 yards, but he got the touchdown. Again, 10 fantasy points. That's a good number from that position for a late round tight end. So, you know, I think he's one of the steals of the draft. I think he's going to be a very valuable tight end. Another guy that I picked up, like Gerald Everett, same thing. We'll see what happens when Keenan Allen comes back, but he could be a late round steal. Those two could be the guys that, you know, last year, I think Dalton Schultz was an absolute steal. You saw Henry win the league last year. He did have Dalton Schultz. So late round tight ends can really project your, propel your team, I should say, to winning ways. As far as your duds go, definitely some duds here. DK Metcalf, 4 receptions, 35 yards. This is concerning. He's not getting those big plays he did last year. You know, we were worried about this for guys like Tyreek Hill, but as you can see, Tyreek Hill is still really fast, and the Dolphins, they're okay throwing the ball down the field. If Tyreek can't get there, it's fine. If he can't make the catch, there's no one around him. He beats everybody. I don't know what the Seahawks are doing. Throw DK Metcalf the ball. Let him get behind the defense. Pete Carroll's running a 1980s offense. Let's just run the ball into the ground. And again, I do think they're one of the worst teams in the league. So I hope DK Metcalf can bounce back from this, but it's definitely not his fault. It's just that play calling and scheme and quarterback. So he's going to be your dud this week. Joe Chick starts the year and his Marvel career 0-2, while Mr. Handjobs Corrado starts 1-1. All right, our last matchup is going to be Chris Roach, the BV Bar Wenches, taking on Jason Kelly, Skeeters, and big performance here by Mr. Roach, 132-108. Roach takes the win, studs all over the place. Aaron Jones, 30 fantasy points. Jalen Waddle, 34 fantasy points. Herbert in a heroic performance. You know, they got the loss in real NFL football, but he stayed out on the field, 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, pretty much with a broken rib. So 23 fantasy points from his quarterback position. As far as duds go, I guess we'll call it a dud, but Ja'Marr Chase getting you 8 fantasy points, not something you want to see. Just a weird game, man. Again, going back to that Bengals game. Just so odd. Obviously, it was a T. Higgins day. That's why I love drafting T. Higgins, man. I do think those guys are going to flip back and forth more than people think. Chase is going to get that double coverage, like I said, like an A.J. Brown, and it's going to free up guys like T. Higgins and Devontae Smith. It just happened to be a T. Higgins week this week. Better days ahead for Ja'Marr Chase. Going over to Jason's team, 108 points, great output there. Josh Allen, stud, best quarterback in the league. I'm sorry, Patrick Mahomes, you're right there too. But what Josh Allen can do with his legs, with his arm, are just something we've never seen before. It's like putting Patrick Mahomes and prime Cam Newton in the same body. It's unbelievable. Weapons all over. And didn't even have one of his weapons, in Gabe Davis. So 29 fantasy points, 317 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Dude's unbelievable. This is, as far as a dud goes, this is this could be a red alert, man. Derrick Henry, 8 fantasy points, and that's with a touchdown. Imagine if he didn't get you that 6-point touchdown. He'd have 2.5 fantasy points. This was the concern always for Derrick Henry. This offense is not the same with A.J. Brown. They're running rookie wide receivers, Josh Gordon and Robert Woods as their wide receivers. You don't need to pay extra attention to those guys. Those are just guys right now. I'm not saying, Burks, maybe Phillips could turn into something, but they're still rookies right now. You do not need to game plan for them as far as, stud receivers go. So the game plan is stop Derrick Henry, and the Bills absolutely did that last night. 25 yards rushing. Every time I looked up at that screen, Derrick Henry was getting tackled for lost yards. So a lot of negative plays there for Derrick Henry. So we'll see what happens. You got to keep starting him. I mean, he's your number one, first round pick. So just not looking good, really. So Jason starts the year 1-1, while Mr. Roach 2-0. Nice start. All right, it's time for the power rankings. These are the power rankings heading into week 3, not made by me. So, again, I've entered all of your teams into a simulation here. It's going to keep track of everything all year. If you add players, trade players, it's going to update itself here on this app. So take it for what it is. This is not my opinion. I'm just reading it off. So trust me, I think I'd have myself a little higher than what I have here. But I'm going to read you the power rankings starting from 12 to 1. And a surprising at number 12. I know you probably thought Juan Torres Falcons. They have listed here bathroom hand jobs, Mike Corrado. At number 11 is going to be Juan Torres Falcons. Number 10, going to be the trophy wife, Taylor. Number 9, man, I just don't get these. The BV Bar Wenches. I know, 2-0, starts 2-0, starting off hot. Had a great week this week. They have a number 9. Number 8, myself, Mr. Fahrenheit. Again, I think I'd have myself a little higher, but that's okay. I'm just reading the list, folks. At number 7, Dawson Knox's Creek. At number 6, and that's Josh Benoit. At number 6, ChristianMingle.com. It's going to be Gage. At number 5, I mean, a complete flip from last week. Number 5 is going to be the Book of Samuel, Joe Chick. I mean, you rose up multiple positions. Number 4, Unleash the Beast, Alicia. Number 3, Pillar of Fire. In a losing effort, number 2, Yeater Skeeters. So you got Tom and Jason who took L's and moved up on the charts. And then we got number 1, Juan Large Lemonade, please. It's going to be Elliot, still in that number 1 spot. So, again, take it for what it's worth. I take this as an absolute challenge. I like my team better than 8th. I'm sure some of you like your teams better than their positions, but that's what it is. Gotta go buy it. So thanks again for listening to the show. Week 2 is in the books. Excited for week 3. Waiver wire tonight. Oh, love fantasy football. I love you guys. Mwah, 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 mwah. See you guys next week.